Well, this week we've been looking at the local church and the universal church, and looking at the distinctions between the worldwide church, as far as everyone that's saved, and the local gathering, the local church. So we see here, we're going to back up a couple minutes into yesterday's program to bring things into context. First, a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity this week we've had and continue to enjoy having the privilege and yet responsibility to open up the precious Word of God. We ask that you might bless it to the hearing of those that are out there throughout the Randolph County area. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
The marriage supper of the Lamb stands before all of us, that glorious time for all of us in the universal church. It's not just for these at Ramsor, it's going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's for all of us in the world that know Christ as our Savior. We all will be able to say, as in 1 John, we shall see Him as He is. Praise God for that. Everyone that is saved. Everyone in the universal church. And also, as we start off in Ephesians, I can't help but here's a couple of great things we have. Man, woman, whatever, if you're in the body of Christ, it says you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And also it says in the next chapter of Ephesians 2, says we have been seated in the heavenlies. Two great positional truths. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are seated in the heavenlies. When anyone would say, well, I don't want anything to do with fundamental Christianity, they're too biased. Well, I would say, look at all the truths you have, man or woman, that you have now and to look forward to. Gender equality in the universal church. Well, contrast that while we're in Timothy, turn to chapter 2, this back one chapter from what you were looking at earlier. We see in the local church there are different roles because of God's order. Now, as we looked at 1 Corinthians 11 earlier, it spoke of Christ and man and woman, and we see order there. But we also see that in the Trinity there's order, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we know that the eternal Son of God is not inferior to the Father. He's co-equal. So when we think of man and woman, we remember, universally speaking, we're equal. But then we come into the local church, there is order. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's interesting, all the things that are mentioned in the first three chapters of 1 Timothy that lead up to what he said, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. Well, there's a list of about six or seven of them in the very book that he's writing. And here's one of them. Chapter 2, verse 11. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why? One reason, verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14, another reason. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So we see that Satan in the Garden of Eden deceived Eve, and also God created Adam first and brought Eve out of his side. Not under his heel, not from his head, but from his side, to be a helpmeet. So we see here two things that is just an example of the order that we have in the local assembly. If you notice in verse 12, the woman's not to teach, nor usurp authority. I think often I hear people say, well, they're not to, if they're going to teach, then they're usurping authority. But this says not to teach nor usurp authority. You can usurp authority without teaching. If you take a position of authority, I'm going to make these decisions in this assembly. Well, you may not have taught anything, but you were usurping authority. And I'm not saying that to be thrown at anybody. I'm just saying in general, verse 12 says not to teach nor usurp authority. It's two different instructions. They can overlap, but they don't have to. So we see that brought forth. Again, gender equality in the body of Christ for all Christians. But yet in the local assembly, there are specific orders. And after that, it mentions the childbearing for the women. You know, I might say this, maybe a little bit out of context, but we've got four children now, and a number of friends have a lot of children. It is a privilege that the woman has in that home that a man does not have to raise children, little boys, little girls, for the next generation. And they're the ones that's putting their impact and influence all the more upon those children that they might be for Christ. We need this. We need godly men and women in the assembly of God. I'm saying that as the whole. Because the whole church is a whole. Then Revelation 2 and 3 is a good example for the local church. There are seven churches that John was mentioned, and he went by the Spirit of God and saw these things. And we see that Christ was walking amongst these seven churches, telling about the things that he liked, the things that needed improvement. So we see here there's accountability in the local assembly. And one interesting thing in that, in Revelation, in to each of these seven churches, I believe you'll find the same statement. I was just going to read it, and it's mentioned, I believe, to every church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So every local assembly of God's people are accountable before the Lord to function in His order. So we see this is a great responsibility, but a privilege. Now, I'll just mention the last one. There is one foundation, number six, in Christ. He's the solid rock. On the other end of it, in the local church, instead of the worldwide church, men build upon the foundation of Christ. We are to edify, to build. By the way, we need a fresh revival of pioneer work, don't we? To go out and build upon God's church and establish gatherings in the name of Christ. We see a zeal that's needed, I believe, in this time. Number seven, there's one shepherd. Christ is the one that is the chief shepherd, it says in 1 Peter. He's the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's the one shepherd. But as there's a number of passages, and I mentioned a few here, there is to be a plurality, a group of elders, or sometimes mentioned as bishops, or we call them under-shepherds sometimes, in the local assembly. The universal church has one shepherd, it's Christ. In the local assembly, although he's still the head, there are under-shepherds trying to guard and to feed the flock of God. Number eight, there's one membership. When you're born into the family of God by salvation through Christ, you become a member of the worldwide church. But then we see there are many different local fellowships of God's people scattered about. Interesting enough, the word for fellowship is the word in the Greek sometimes for partnership, the same word for communion. That is why I believe it's wise to say that to be in full fellowship somewhere is when you are gathering at the Lord's table. That's when you're a true partner. That is when you're in fellowship. That's when you're communing. All these words together in the Greek, fellowship, communion, partnership. That makes someone in fellowship. Can't help but throw this one out. Forgive me, the time. But I just got really encouraged about this week. But we see here, for example, I know someone that years ago went to, I'm not going to say where, don't want to throw stones, went to a place that has, let's say, church membership on a roll call piece of paper. Well, he hasn't been there in 25 or 30 years, but in recent years he's got telephone calls checking, well, how are you doing, or whatever they say, I don't know. But the point is, as long as his name was on that paper, in their mind, he was a member. He hadn't been in the building in 30 years, I suppose. See, the difference between membership, which should be the universal church, instead of the local church. Because you can be a member of the YMCA and never show up. You see? But when you're in fellowship, remember that's the word partnership, that means that you're there, and you're in fellowship based on your faithfulness. If I didn't show up for 6 months, and I was out playing golf, and someone came here at visiting speaker and said, well, where's Mike? Well, he's not here today. He's playing golf. Well, is he in fellowship here? Well, he hasn't been too faithful. I don't guess he's in fellowship here lately. It wouldn't matter if my name was on a piece of paper, would it? There's a difference between being a partner with the work here in this gathering and being on a piece of paper. Now, when you're on, when you're in the universal church, your name is written, but it's in heaven. The membership that you have in the universal church is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do we all know Christ as our Savior today? We'll just close with that. Ben, could you close in prayer if you don't mind?
Our Father, we do thank Thee again for the truth that has been spelled out so clearly in Your Word. Oh, Father, grip our hearts that You might search them out and that we just might not know them with the head knowledge, Father, but that we might be doers of the word.
We'll break in at that point, and just by way of review, this week we've been looking at the universal church and the local church. We've been looking at the differences. Just by way of review, this week we've noticed how, first, that a person is saved, born again into the body of Christ. But in the local church, it's a matter of being received into that local gathering, that local assembly. We see that you must first be born again before you're truly in fellowship in a local church. So you must enter the universal church, that is, the body of Christ as a whole, before you're really in the local church, as far as God's concerned. Secondly, we see that there's no traditions in the universal church as far as ordinances that will bring you into the body of Christ. You cannot obtain salvation by ordinances. We looked at Colossians chapter 2 on that. But in contrast, the local church, there are ordinances. This is not for salvation, but this is for the honor and glory of God in obedience to His Word. We notice that the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, that is, the that time of baptism, for believers' baptism, we see also the veiling of women in the local assembly. These are three examples we found in the Word of God that we mentioned. Again, they're not for salvation, but these are things that are, as we noted, the difference between men's tradition and God's tradition. When God points it out and lays it out in His Word, it is called either the word tradition or ordinance in the Scripture. This is something for His glory, and it's not pertaining to salvation. That's the local church. So we see also, number three, we saw the difference between the universal church and the local church, that the eternal security is something that all of us that are saved have in the universal church. Everyone, whether in China, United States, wherever you live, if you're saved and born again, that means that you have eternal security. John chapter 10 speaks of how no man can pluck thee out of the Father's hand, or Christ said that in Himself, no one can pluck you out of His hand. Romans chapter 8, tremendous exposition on the very truth of eternal security based on the work of Christ, and He is the one that's faithful. Compare that to the local church. There is not security there in the sense that if you're in sin and refuse to leave that sin, you can be disciplined, and even to the point to where you're taken out of the meeting. So we see there that there is no security in the local church based on the need to keep the purity of Christ's name in that local testimony. We see, fourthly, we looked at the universal church and how that you're not brought into the universal church. You're not in the family of God by joining an organization or an order. But in contrast, in the local church, there is order. We see that Scripture tells us that we may know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3. Then we see, fifthly, we saw the universal church, how there is gender equality. And we see there that as far as the truths of the position we have as Christians and the promises we have, the blessings in Christ, this is for man or woman. But then in the local church, there are different roles. God has laid out different roles for men and women, how to function in the local assembly. We see number six, there is one foundation. Christ is the one solid rock. That's the universal church. But on the other hand, the local church, men build on the foundation. We are going about to edify the body of Christ and to build up the saints and teach and such as that. And then we see number seven, the universal church has one shepherd. This is the Lord Jesus Himself. And we see He's called the chief bishop of our souls. But then in contrast, in the local assembly, Acts chapter 20, 17, and 28, those two verses, came in chapter 20, Acts 13, real good passage there, which speaks of there was prophets and teachers in Antioch. It mentions five particular people there Philippians 1:1, Hebrews 13 and verse 7. These are just some examples of how there are a group of shepherds in any local assembly, if it's to be based on the pattern in the New Testament. One shepherd for the universal church, but a group of shepherds leading God's flock in a local church. Christ should be the head of both the local and the universal church. That is the truth. And we see in closing and review, we saw that there is one membership, Romans chapter 12, that if you're born again, you're born into the body of Christ, and everyone in the universal church is a member of that body of Christ. But on the local church level, it's never spoken of in the scripture of being a member, not joining an order or an organization. There are different local gatherings. We notice that there's a difference between the membership of the universal church and being in fellowship in the local church. We saw that, I believe it was even today's program. Being in partnership is the word in the Greek. So just for a few thoughts, we hope it was helpful for you this week. And we're going to close today and hope that you'll be with us for our final program of the week tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you.